Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler and this week we're going to have a look at a couple of transfers that could be in the offing. And of course, a few of us made a trip to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium last Saturday in the hope that we'd pick up a couple of goals and a win. Sadly, it wasn't to be. A good first half performance wasn't enough, and another defeat on the road for Wolves. We also give a brief mention to our travel adventures getting over and back. Joining me today are Gary Cotter and Mick McQuillan. So I hope you enjoy it.
Hi Tony.
Mick, how are you?
Not too bad.
That's good. How do you go? What time did you get home on Saturday?
I got home here. The bus was fairly quick, I must say. I was home here about 2:05. Get to bed about 2:30. I had a cup of tea when I got in.
I was looking exactly the same myself. I just couldn't go straight to bed. I just got home and had a cup of tea, and that was it.
Oh, it was a bit of a rush there. Now, I must say, a few things started, worked out for it at the finish. We got on the plane, and we were able to get the back seats, myself and Rasher, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It meant once they had the doors there, but I was talking to the air hostess, and I said, oh, good, mate. Sure, you get onto them fairly quickly by getting them steps up at the back, you know.
You know yourself from history, at that early night, because it's after 12, yeah, then we can have a bloody back stairs, you know.
So, in that sense, it was gone. We were the first half, but Rasher done a runner then. He had the
Melissa.
What's her name?
Melissa.
Was there waiting on him. And then I was out after I met you, and I was down at the bus stop, down at my bus stop waiting. And next thing, who comes running up by me, only Rasher, looking for her. So I said, what do you think of the, see, the lads were interested and supposed to be trying to get her over the line fairly quickly, but
this Austrian fella?
A bit of a hole. Yeah.
There's
a lot of truth in her, I'd say, because your man, Romano, he's always spot on the ball, rightly on the ball.
Yeah.
But he said that the problem is, Wolves, your man is in the last year of his contract, and Wolves prepared 15 million, but they want 21 or 22 million.
Yeah. It'd be if they want them, they'll just usually come somewhere in the middle, and you know, the fees seem to be, you don't know whether to believe half the fees that you hear quoted, because I mean, like Gibbs White, you know, I think in that, when they say somebody's gone for 50 million, I think these days it's a bit like Gibbs White, it's 25 and 5 if he gets an international cap, and 10 if this, you know. That's the
But there's all these additions, Tony, goes on, and in Gibbs White's case, it was loaded with loads of them. And the reason for that was, is to try and placate the fans. Because if this fan see 42 million, oh, that's acceptable to let them go with that.
Yeah.
But if they had the same 20, 25 million, we let them go for nothing, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Gary. But I saw something today there about they got Neto to Arsenal. Some fella from The Athletic said it. But I mean, that seems to be recurring. Every time we're going to sign a player, the next line seems to be Neto's gone to Arsenal, or he's gone to Arsenal, or whatever, you know.
Yeah, but the Athletic, Tony, is fairly accurate.
Yeah.
That's your man Romano is in as well. They're fairly accurate. But I was saying to you last, I think I was saying, that with the system he's playing at the minute, it's not going to suit Neto. And that was fairly obvious on Saturday.
He hasn't really hit form at all yet, has he?
Well, if he's going to play what he wants him to do, you ain't going to see the Neto we had before, because the system doesn't allow for that with him. You know, he's trying. If you've seen it, you've seen it on Saturday as well. Well, Tony, there that Johnny had him pulled back, and he was playing actually as nearly a right forward as well for a lot of the first half to give Johnny a bit of cover. Now, there's nothing wrong at that, but the problem is that's not Neto's game. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I think that's a bit mad, to be honest, because like either he's a good player or he's not, right? And the chances of, like, if he's going to Arsenal, for example, they don't play three at the back or five at the back.
No, it's not what I'm saying, Gary.
The system is you know, he's either good or he ain't.
No, it wasn't on Saturday. He was playing actually as a right full for a lot of the first half.
For the first half, yeah.
Yeah, he looked like it was the forward staying at the back, and he was like a right wing back, yeah.
He was strong. And Johnny was calling the shots there with him because he was covered in Johnny on that. No, that, what I'm saying to you is that, as I said last week, even on the other side, Neto was never a player that, you know, up and down the line, up and down the line. Neto was a player, he has a great turn of pace. And he drift back all right, he'd pick a ball up and then he'd take a fella on, slow it down, take it on and go, boy. But you give him two or three of those long balls, and he's definitely puffing. And that's what I was saying last night. So, you know, I could see that there probably could be some truth to what's going on there. Now, when I heard it last week, when I see who's coming in and making these, I say this at the moment, they're very, very reliable with the Athletic. Like, you won't get any better than that Romanov either. So I'd say there's a bit of truth, because Neto was not going to, that's not going to suit Neto at the end of the day. The frustrating thing, I suppose, for everybody is that, you know, You got into some players, and then you let, you know, the chances are you're letting experienced players go. You know, so you're not building up your fucking squad. You know, that's my worry about it, you know.
Yeah, I tend to believe, I'll believe when I see, you know, because it's all speculation, you know. And I mean, fellas are, as I said, I actually mentioned this the weekend, they said, like, fellas are looking at 2-2 and they're getting 5-6, you know, that, oh, you know, we, you know, out of the blue, were mentioned on forums that, oh, we're a sell to buy club, you know, and we're, you know, these are Wolves fans talking, you know. I mean, that's a load of rubbish. You know, we're getting in the players we want. And if you get 60 million for Neto, would you turn it down? You know,
I would.
Should we?
I would. I'll tell you the reason I would, Tony, because he is a quality player. And we're at the getting, like, you look at Muniz to come in, he is quality. There's no doubt about it. And even Gredis had a very good game. But we want to be building that up. You know what I mean? And when I say quality, everybody keeps saying we haven't got a centre ball, we haven't got this, we haven't that. And, you know, I have to agree with a lot of that. But the other thing we've got to look at, some of the crosses in the past for corners and things like that, absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Nobody can get on the end of them. And the bit of quality we had at the weekend was that chip from Neves to Nunes. Right at half time.
That's what
I'm talking about. If we can, we need players that can put them balls in. That's even from corners. You know, and that is frustrating because, we slag fellas and not put them away. But some of the balls have been asked to be given to try and do something with it. Balls, you know.
But actually, I was surprised on Saturday to see at the end of the game, the last 15 minutes, that Neves was actually taking corners. You know, I thought it was a bit unusual. Yeah. But, you know, you normally see him at the edge of the box for the ball that might be cleared out to him, you know? I don't know what the idea was.
Just on Neto, I think if we were getting 60 million, I would seriously consider it. Yeah. I think he's been blown very hot and cold, and more cold than hot in since his injury, really. Don't know, has he ever come back yet, you know, fully returned to his self.
Yeah.
And I don't think, like, the end of the day, it's 11 against 11. The system, you've got to work hard at times and so on, but when he's got his opportunity to beat his man, turn the fella inside out, you know, score the odd goal here or there, you know, he's not really doing a whole lot, is he?
Yeah, he played very well against Liverpool last game of the season, you know, so we talk kind of great.
Yeah, but again, Lee, look, the point I was making about, where he picked the ball up, in around there, half, up with a quarter. And he took the ball and he deliberately went to the two or three of them. And he made a monkey out of both of them and got by them. Yeah. And left both of them fucking shooting the tin air. That's what he's good at. You got to play. If you remember, go back to what Nuno, when he got Traore in, to get the best out of it. And same with what you call it, Jimenez up front. Like, remember, Jimenez played with Benfica and he 30-odd games sitting on the bench. And he said, you have to adjust your game plan to get the best out of these players.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. But what we have at the minute, that ain't happening. And, you know, the statistics, Tony, I know I said it to you, like, we've picked up 3 points out of the last 30 points available.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it a bit more closely. Like, last year, I think the first 21 games, the first 17 games, we had around 35, 36 points, which is around 2 points a game.
Yeah.
But after that, we only picked up 15 points.
Yeah.
But I thought one interesting stat was our only clean sheet in the last, I don't know, 15, 20 games or something, was against Fulham, playing four at the back. You know, so five at the back doesn't guarantee doesn't guarantee you a clean sheet.
No, well, I'll tell you what you do, Gary. Then go to the proper, the right, the first 17 games, and we're playing that system almost consistently. We had 36 points in 17 games. After that, we had 21 games, and we picked up something like 15 or 17 points when you're fucking around with the system.
Yeah.
So there's a statistic I could look at. And we've seven straight defeats. Seven defeats out of the last 10 games. We drew three. That's 3 points out of 30. Yeah, that's relegation.
Yeah.
Nick, it's last season, right? It's last season, and it was five at the back. And to me...
No, we didn't. The back end of last season, he was... Listen... Gary, since March, he was changing. And I was constantly on about it. The only game he switched was with Liverpool game. He had five at the back again, Liverpool. He had five at the back, what you call it, when we won up with Spurs. If you look at it, well, that's, I'm not arguing the system now. It's where we are. You know, this is where we are. But we're losing quality. We're letting quality players go. We're not building up a squad.
Apart from that, Mick, I mean, our problem for the last few years has been scoring goals. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Without doubt.
I mean, and that's what we have to tackle, and that's what we have to try and solve. And new guy that's coming in, or is supposed to be coming in, this Austrian, I hope he's better than the last one we had.
But Tony, you made a proper point then. There, okay. But as I said, we were the fourth best defence last season in the Premier League. But yes, we spent the whole pre-season working on defence, not our attack. And that's, you know, that you have to look at that.
Yeah, but you need, I mean, you need the players. We have. The criticism was that playing five at the back was limiting their attacking options, and that's why we weren't.
No, it doesn't, Tony.
But it was starting to, you know, whether teams were copping on to our system or whatever.
Go back to the last two games of the season. Which we were home against the team. This is last season. The last two games of last season. We were home against, what you call it, the last match of the season at home. And we were playing the team at the bottom. And we were playing with four at the back. And they slaughtered us. They should have fucking beat us. And we didn't, we were creating nothing. And we went to Anfield the last game of the season with three at the back, and we tore them apart.
Yeah.
That's the way this... But anyway, it's not going to change now.
No, to finish it, Mick, I suppose the argument is probably irrelevant now that Cody's gone, because I can't see us playing five at the back. You know, I can't see us playing three in the middle.
And I couldn't see us playing four at the back with Cody as one of them anyway.
Yeah. You know? So, I mean, I think the decision's been made that we're going to... It's like last season, after three games, 3-1-0 defeats, and he switched the system because obviously three defeats in a row, people were starting to get edgy and tetchy, and he changed.
He didn't switch the system then.
Last season, yeah.
He didn't do it after three games.
We lost the first three games, and he changed the system.
No, we did. We were creating lots of fucking chances.
Yeah, we were playing great, We weren't scoring goals again.
No, I understand that, but again, what you must remember, our centre forward was only back Jimenez. But the problem, we know we don't have the firepower.
Yeah.
And there's no argument that. But that's made it more important. He said, like, he should have been walking on that end of the game pre-season. It didn't happen.
Yeah, but we didn't have players.
Your man was on the... Oh, I don't know where you watch it, Gary, but he made it a point a good few times. You know, everybody knows Wolves are pure up front. Someone said made a comment that, you know, Wolves are a fantastic side. Really have a great... Hey, would you not depend on them to score a goal?
But I suppose we're just kind of leading on to Saturday's game, which probably carries on the conversation, because, geez, it's not for the want of creating chances, particularly in the first half on Saturday. So, I mean, I think, is it squarely on the players' shoulders that they're not putting the ball in the net? I was looking up stats this evening. We had 11 shots, 3 on target, 8 off target, and we had something like 5 or 6 blocked shots as well. We saw ourselves on Saturday in the first half.
One of those was the one from Nevis from fairly well way out. I thought the best move of the match, the one with Nunes. It's a bit of quality attached there. But at the same time, Spurs, we were lucky to go in as well, not 1-0 down. Because Saha made a great save there from
Kane. Kane's header.
You know, right at the butt. But again, I go back to losing experienced players. But as I said on Saturday, Tony, the game was lost in the dressing room at half-time because it was the difference of two managers. Because there's no doubt, Conte would have smashed many a cup in that dressing room at half time with the way he goes on. But they came out a different animal the second half.
Oh, they did. Well, I mean, they were the home side, Mick, you know. So
how is that our fault? Like we battered the hell out of them in the first half. I mean, if Spurs, it was a bit like, remember last week, Johnny Pearl was saying how Spurs had got battered at Chelsea, and if it was boxing and points, they would have been beaten, but they didn't. They came back twice.
Yeah.
That was always going to happen at half time. Yeah. If they came out and played the same in the second half, they would have been absolutely slaughtered, like, by the fans.
Yeah. I understand, Gary, but what I'm saying to you, all he done, he got them to push up on us at half time, and we were in trouble. And then this is where I come in about the experienced players. We turned around and we were playing into Wolves, basically where the Wolves end was, okay? So you had two young fellas at the fucking back, right where they have the first cup end. And they couldn't get out. They were being overflown there because there was a lack of experience there. That under pressure, there was a bit of panicking going on at the back. That's not a slight on the lads is there, but they'll only guess the experience by playing that. But like, we had nothing to put in to stop that. If you take last season, there was 19 games, or there was a 20, 21 games had gone last season. Right, the first 19, 20, or 20, I think it was coming to 21 games. We hadn't conceded a goal from a corner, okay? But the back three we had then was Cody, it was your man, what do you call him? Soyuz, and it was...
Kilman or Bolly on the other,
Kilman. Yeah. They were superb, the back three. They were good, they were strong, but there was a lot of experience in there. And when they pushed on us, we were in a bit of trouble. Now, look, we got away a number of times, and unfortunately, Kane bullied them. And if you look at what he'd done, and look, Kane got at him before the ball was kicked and left him alone when they were about to cross the corner.
Yeah.
Of course, Collins lost him.
I mean, that's why he's the player he is, Mick. But I mean, I think our problem in the second half, they had to push up. I mean, they came out in the first half, probably the first 10 minutes, they had a goalless and they got nowhere. And then we took over the game right up to half time. The Kane's header, the looping header, I thought Sa was more worried about clattering out the post than actually saving it. I didn't think he was that troubled by it. It was just an awkward one to get a hand to. But like, second half, I mean, as the second half started and it went on, Moutinho started losing, he was tired. The two new lads weren't up to Premier League pace yet, and I don't know how long it's going to take them. But I mean, all the outlets we had in the first half were gone within 10 or 15 minutes of the second half. I think we were all there and we all had a feeling, you'd know by the atmosphere and the Wolves crowd that, you know, we'd be happy with a draw here because Spurs had taken over. And we said it, I think, afterwards ourselves, you know, the difference in the game. And I mean, look at the stats. They're so close. Even possession was 50-50. But I think we had 100% in the first half and they had 100% in the second half. You know, the difference is a goal scorer. If we had a fucking goal scorer in the first half, we'd have been 2 or 3 up. They had a goal scorer. They could have been 1 up at half time. Kane got the goal. And that was the difference. He could have had another hit the crossbar near the end. And I mean, that's the difference. And that's the problem.
The difference only was in the first half, we were bringing the ball from the back out. We were allowed to play from the back out. Okay? When second half they came in, they stopped that. They got at us. And stopped us building. We were building from the back. And then we're starting to hit long balls. Yeah. And if you look at the team. We have a very, very small team. And once we started to lift that ball up and over, we were in trouble. And they were winning that ball. So they stopped us building from the back out. Now, the other major statistic that you got to look at here, I think Bruno has won 3 points from losing positions. He hasn't been able to change anything when we go a goal behind. Now, when you had it the other way with Nuno, we used to be complaining, we only played in the second half. But we were retrieving, I think 2 years in the trot, an average of, 21, 22 points from losing positions. And that tells you something. And that what that tells you is, you know what, and the same with Conte. These lads suss it out. The same as your man with Real Madrid. On the line, when they were losing 2 or 3-0 Madrid, he didn't lose the cool. They thought, they worked out what they and they were able to turn in a possible thing around. On Saturday, Bruno has not been able to do that. Yeah. Because when he goes a goal behind, you have to admit yourself, he has problems in making substitutions.
Yeah, but I mean, Mick, you know, but apart from that, Mick, I don't think it's a great way to set out your stall for development of a team and for establishing yourself anywhere is, you know, and we were known for it. You know, Asher, it doesn't matter if we go a goal down, we come back. But we don't, like, I mean, you can't go on like that forever. I mean, you have to go out to play a game, to win it, Mick.
We weren't winning games, though.
It wasn't happening towards the, like, I don't want to be going into history, Gary. I'm sure you don't either.
It wasn't
as successful in the latter times as it was early on. But like, Gary, just to cut the history lesson, what were your thoughts on the game on Saturday?
I thought it was because what's his name? Jermaine Genius was the commentator on BT.
Yeah. And Gallagher was at the match, so
he just made the point that, and I thought it was fair that Spurs were like a team that had played a game last night. The night before, they were just dead on their feet in the first half, and it was inevitable that at half time they were going to get a bollocking and they were going to come out a different team in the second half. And we have a young back line, we have a young side. You know, I think we burnt a lot of our energy in that first half. And as it made the point last week, if we don't score when we're on top, it's kind of true what Mick says that. You know, we don't have a great record under Bruno for coming back into games.
No.
So we need to get that one up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think, again, we didn't. And this infatuation we have with getting to the byline and pulling back to the penalty spot and not putting it across the box. I mean, even that one in the second half when, in fairness to Jimenez, he wheezed his way through and put it across, but it was just behind Dendonker.
He actually would have been a great goal. I think I said it to Mick that shot. I don't know. Dendonker just seemed to freeze when the ball came in.
But it was just behind him, I think. You know,
I thought actually...
That's what I was saying to you early on, is that some of the balls that were given lads and expecting them to do something with, that final touch... We're rushing it, or I don't know what it. Like, and even the fans were shouting the fellas to have a shot. And if they had had a shot, it would have been just hitting, been blocked.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a bit of fucking. There is panic setting in with among the supporters.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because I mean, I thought even Mick, what kind of summed it up for us at the moment was we were about a minute or two into injury time, and there was a ball played in to Jimenez, and he jumped up. And it hit the top of his head and went out wide, you know. And everyone kind of looked at it. Oh, geez. You know, it was a real fuck. That was it. It was about a minute or two left, you know. And he jumped for it and it just bounced off the top of his head and went wide. Yeah. Oh, and it just, you know, it just kind of summed up everything at the moment that we're just.
Yeah, I think like I thought the report in the Independent on Sunday, I don't know whether anybody saw it, but your man was, it was a strange report in a sense because. He was saying how we're struggling to score a goal. But at the end of the article, it was like, but there's still a level of optimism around Wolves because it's like we're nearly there. And I was talking to Faulkner the other day, and he just made the point that we could give someone a bit of a doing someday. If things just went right, we could get 2 or 3. I don't know. I'm still cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I would be too. Gary, because of the quality midfield we have, I don't think there could be a better one in the Premier League. We have the players now to do that. I fully understand that fellas came in there. I said on Saturday, the lads there, that, you know, obviously they were going to tire the two new lads because they wouldn't have been playing football at that intensity for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? But it was the right thing to put them in. Because now they know, and I thought even in the second half when they got tired, because they still were showing a fair bit of quality. Let's be honest, they'd be an awful lot better this week for that outing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the same thing, Collins, I know, he got hoodwinked and he'd be killing himself when he'd gone. But that will be a huge learning curve to him. That you're playing up the top level now, and this is the sort of tricks that goes on. at the top level. If you want to be up there, you've got to be on your game. Otherwise, you're going to be finishing second. Yeah. You know what I mean? I give that. But my worry is that we need to keep building the squad.
Yeah.
And the likes of the Nettos, and I don't care whether we're off at 50 or 60. We need to show that we're not selling
the
club. Well,
the club are saying he's not for sale. But I'm just thinking with the like with the way where we the last two games in particular, and I mean it's every game now and any game you watch on telly. But I just think, what do you think of the way teams are seeing out games now with us, you know, nil all trying to get a winner at home against Fulham, or 1-0 down trying to get an equaliser against Bournemouth last week. I mean, teams now are away from home. If Fulham are happy with a draw, I mean, the last 20 minutes, nothing happened because there were players going down now, come down on their backsides with cramp or whatever, and they're just games being killed. Spurs did the same. I mean, you couldn't get any momentum in the last 20 minutes. So, you know, it's getting harder and harder in the Premier League when you go a goal down to get back. I mean, Burnley were doing it for years, but it seems to be commonplace now with a lot of teams that they just kill the game. I mean, goalkeepers are taking a minute nearly now to take a goal kick, and the referees are going all the way up to them 50 yards to tell them to hurry up, and then running back 50 yards, and then it's just, I'm hoping.
But the story of fellas going down, at the moment, everybody's doing it at times, but enough of that, but keeping it Saturday, Tony, it was 24, 25 degrees, it's very warm over there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we take that consideration, but the next couple of weeks, but referees have it in their power. Instead of issuing them a warning, just put the card up. Same, you know what I mean? And you don't have to walk up to them. Just where you are, put her up and let's see what goes on after.
Yeah. So we've Newcastle at the weekend. What's the thoughts on that, Gary?
It's hard to judge at the minute because who knows when we're going to take off. But yesterday I was surprised when City went up so early against Newcastle. I thought Newcastle would put more into it. But they did, you know, and turned it around and went 3-1. And so I'd be wary of Newcastle. I think Eddie Howe has them going well. I'd say it'll be, again, I would have thought, you'd have to say at the moment, our best opportunity is a 1-0. You know, a scrappy old goal. Pedenz kicking it into the ground like he did at Leeds and again on Saturday.
He did it on Saturday as well,
At something like that, you know, hits off somebody's backside and in. But we are, that's where your man said in the Independence as well, we're absolutely horrible to play against, is his opinion, that there's great quality throughout the team and they're, you know, we don't concede much. We're horrible to play against.
Yeah.
But we just can't, you know, we can't capitalise at the other end. No. You know?
Hopefully it'll be this week. Mick, what are your thoughts on the game?
As I said, Gary hit something there. I would play, if we haven't got the new fella in, and the looks are trying to get him in, but we haven't got it. You certainly have to start with Jimenez up front.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And put then, so that has to drop out there. But you have to start with him because we need a focal point.
Yeah.
Even if he's just there to pick up, hold the ball up, to let the midfield lads get forward. And the one thing I think we've gone for the Saturday, I said to Tony, I rate Eddie Howe as highly as I rate Bruno. Then you have the elite managers, okay? And I think, thinking-wise, between the pair of them, it's I actually fancy us, if him and us up front, to win the game on Sunday. Yeah. And that we have that focal point, because I think we have the quality. Now, they have a couple of good players. Gridamata's in the middle of the park. He's a very, very good player for them.
Yeah.
He's a very, very good player. But they have a lot of other walkers and fair cheers. Almiron, you know, he scored a goal. But Almiron could go 20 games without a goal.
It was 18 months, Mick, since he scored his previous goal, I think. Yeah. So hopefully that's a sign that he won't score for another 18 months.
That's San Maxima.
He's a fire.
He gave City a hard time, didn't he? The thing I like about us at the moment, despite the fact that we just can't over the line, is it is a toe-to-toe game. And that's where I always used to feel. We used to concede. Now, that didn't mean we wouldn't win games. But we used to concede the game, essentially, and then break out and try and score. Like, I would prefer to play this way, where you keep possession and you build it up. It ain't working quite great at the moment, but I think it will turn. And I think, all in all, it is a better way to play. I'd be looking forward to what we do at Liverpool and City. I hope the fuck it doesn't go back to five or something daft, you know?
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Hopefully not. Yeah. So listen, look, time has flown. We didn't even get a chance to talk about our travels over and back.
It wasn't too bad, Tony. Not
too bad. But no trains on Saturday meant we got a bus into Stratford City, which was great. And we've only just a couple of minutes left. Then we met a Spurs lad actually on the train at Stratford. And Mick had an idea which way we were going anyway. But Hackney Central. Over the bridge to Hackney Downs. White Hart Lane, Gary, we did a 5-minute walk from the station to the ground,
Station was it then?
White Hart Lane. Was
open. Oh, yeah, White Hart Lane station, yeah.
Because
they don't normally have it open, Gary, you know, a match day. Or they don't let away fans. They did this time.
Because last year, we were saying, I'd met Gareth and Shane on the train, and we had a 40-minute walk from Seven Sisters to the ground, and Mick had it nearly that from Tottenham Hale.
I was heading to Tottenham Hale that time because I was hurry to get back to Dansett.
Yeah, it was good, and we came back then, just reversed it to get back. We had a bit of grub in just out across the road from the stadium after the game. Nice little kebab place. That happened actually. Steve, one of the lads, were in it before the game. We just found it, went in. We were a couple of hours in there. Got the train back.
Did you have some delays on the way back? Because it was 2 a.m. when you got home, Tony, was it?
Yeah. Tony Pullen was actually on the 8:10 flight that didn't leave till 9:30. And ours was 9:50 and it didn't leave till it was about 11:15. So, yeah. And we were in the airport at 7:00 because we said we wanted to get out there. We know with the trains that we'd get out there as quick as we could. But like we were there, we had a couple of points. We got one, but I mean, you know, the days of customer service, as I was saying to Mick on Saturday, are gone. You know, they closed the bar at 8:00, so we had to move off, and Witherspoon's was open. We had to go down there. At 9:15, they finished food, and at 9:45, they were closing the bar altogether. So there's nothing, if you're there till 2:00 in the morning flight, you'd be nothing to do. But anyway, so listen, lads, this is it, right? Okay, we'll see you.
Good luck.
Take care. Now, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.